Well, good morning again. We greet you again in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Good to see all of you here today. Good to see families together. I had a little Facebook post about that, and it's good to see some families here together today and occupied, even if you're on the back rows. We're glad that you're here and you've got pews filled up of families. These are the best days of your life, and I cannot say that I have mastered, but I am trying at my age, because I know that my shelf life is limited, and we need to be able to, and I speak to the worship team about this occasionally and today, to be able to worship while we lead. You know, we got the pastor, you got to do this, got to do this, got to be ready to preach. Worship team, we got to get together, we got to have a list of songs, we got to do all this, and we do things. You know, we are in a position from the church designated to lead, but to be able to worship while we lead. And I've not always been able to do that, and I'm trying to be able to enjoy this moment and not be sitting waiting and saying, I've got all these things I've got to make announcements about and prayer list and all these things, but to be able to enjoy this time, an hour that we have basically to worship the Lord, an hour that we will not get back. So let's take advantage of it, speaking to myself here today, to be able to worship the Lord as we try to lead and to preach His Word. And so I want you to know it is an honor to be able to come before you today and to speak God's Word unto His people. And I'm preaching a little bit about our Bible study lesson for last Wednesday night, St. Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he had some struggles, and he had to prepare the church for spiritual warfare, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. St. Paul, you think about what an incredible witness he was for the Lord, but if you remember when he was called, what did God tell Ananias to tell him? Tell him what great things he must enjoy? No, suffer. Tell him what great things he must suffer. Wow. There is some suffering, and there is some spiritual warfare. Pray for us today as we read our text from the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 12, Paul tells us and the church here in Ephesus that we are in a spiritual warfare. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a spiritual warfare. We need to know that, and we need to take advantages of God's resources. But still, there's some struggles. None of us are immune. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would equip us as your saints, dear Lord, that we be able to withstand the attacks of the evil one. Dear Lord, I pray for the sanctification of our church, dear Lord, and for our believers. Pray that we be edified, built up, that we would learn, dear Lord, to take advantage of the resources that you have for us. Give us spiritual discernment that we might recognize the attacks of Satan for what they are. I pray that you would bless the church today at the gathering, those who are listening and watching. I pray for lost people, for the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, dear Lord, and that people would come to know Christ today. I pray that decisions would be made here today, dear Lord, and that we would make the right decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Spiritual warfare is no game. It's not something to laugh and talk about, but it is real. It is something that we need to be made aware of, and it needs to be a part of our prayer life. You know, Jesus taught us that. Deliver us from the evil. You know, I try to pray that daily in my prayer life. There is a warfare going on in a spiritual realm that is real. We need to be able to have spiritual discernment to recognize what is and what is not an attack by Satan. Now, it's easy picking sometimes to blame our personal failures upon Satan, the devil, maybe. Now, that's the devil. That's the devil. Well, a great deal of the time he is guilty, and that is his business to wage warfare upon the people of God, but we can't use that as an excuse sometimes. We also have something called personal responsibility. You know, we have some personal discernment and responsibility and discipleship, discipline, that is on us. But many times, some of the things that are waged by Satan can actually come unbeknown to us. He's a master of disguise. He can hinder you. He can wage spiritual warfare upon you sometimes without you even being aware of it. You just think, well, it's random events and things like that. And that's where we must have spiritual discernment to be able to understand what is spiritual warfare being raised against us, and what is maybe random events, or what is maybe our personal failures and lack of discipline and things like that. But that's why we need to be in the Word of God. That's why we need to be aware of these things. We don't have to go around scared to death, but we need to understand that this is real. And we live in these times, and Satan is declared war upon you. Know that up front. that the devil is not your friend, that he has declared war upon God's people. Now, I want to show you that in the book of Job, and I initially had just jotted down a couple of verses, but I thought, no, I need to take some time and to read this, because maybe most of us are familiar with this chapter, but not everybody is. I have to discipline myself to understand that everybody doesn't know all of the scriptures. The book of Job is an ancient writing. It is about a man who suffered in life, who understands what spiritual warfare is. Maybe when he's enduring it, he didn't understand all about it, what was going on, but he certainly understood and felt the blows and the pain. Job was a man who lived in ancient times. It's one of the oldest books in the Bible. In the Bible, I'm going to read the whole first chapter. Bear with us, we've got time. The book of Job, chapter 1, the Bible says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." He was a good man, a man who followed God. "And he is blessed, and there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters." His substance, he was blessed. Again, his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men in the East. He has been blessed. He's a man of God. He has a great family. He has wealth and possessions. God has blessed him. "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them." He had 10 children, I believe. 7 sons, 3 daughters. "And it was so, when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning." He's doing everything right. Notice here. "Rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that one of my sons has sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did continually." In other words, he's doing everything right. He's a man of God. He is praying for his family. Praying for them. Doing all that he could do. Sometimes, this story here is that we can do all that we can do. We can do all the right things, and yet trouble comes. This Job did continually. "Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it.'" Peter says, "As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch that all that he hath, and he'll curse you to your face." The devil says, "Job only loves you because you have blessed him so much. Take away his things, and he will fail." The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day. Here's a man done everything right. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell on them, took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped along to tell thee. The day ain't over. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep, the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made off three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Pretty rough day, isn't it? Here's a man who has done everything right. What happened to him? We know, don't we? The devil attacked him. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Hither the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That's the first chapter, but it don't end there. Satan comes back and he said, Well, there is this one other thing. Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his own skin. If you will touch his flesh, he's lost his substance. He's lost his family in one day, mind you. But yet he retained his integrity and didn't charge God foolishly and worshiped. The devil said, There's one more thing that will get him. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his own skin. If you will allow me to touch his flesh, he will curse you. And God allowed him. And Job was smitten with boils, painful condition of suffering from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. So he has lost his possessions. He has lost his whole family, 10 children. And now his wife says, Go ahead and curse God and die. But he didn't do it. He held strong. Not sure he understood why these things are happening. He lived a long time ago. He didn't have the Word of God that we have today to teach us. He did have 3 friends who made an appointment, who came to him. And the Bible says when they saw Job, and now he's sitting in ashes, left with a piece of broken pottery, scraping the sores. It says that his 3 friends, when they got within eyesight of him, wept. They couldn't recognize him. It broke their hearts to see their friend in such a condition. We can't imagine what he looked like. And the Bible says that they came to him and sat down around him there and sat there for 7 days and nights without a word. I don't know of any of us that could do that. You know, now they've got many faults that'll come out later, but initially they sat with Job for 7 days and nights on the ground without a word. But maybe while they're sitting there, they're thinking about what to say. And it's when they start saying, that's when they get in trouble. They do not have spiritual discernment. And they start to trying to make an analysis of your situation. You're in a bad shape. You have lost everything. You have lost your family. And what family had wouldn't speak to him. And they said, the problem is you. And they began, you know, just to tell him, you somehow have brought this on yourself. And that's what Satan does to people today. When we get under a spiritual attack, he, you know, hey, this is your fault. This must be. Sometimes it is our fault. But not always. It wasn't Job's fault. He done everything right. I know people that, as far as I know, done everything right. But they had problems in life. I've known some that had great problems. And at the time, you can't understand it. Why is this happening? It is a spiritual warfare being raged by Satan. And these men, they say, it must be your fault. You have done this. You have done that. To the point that Job says, you are miserable comforters. We don't always know. And we need to pray for spiritual discernment. Discernment. The worst thing we can do is to blame us when it's Satan. We need to understand what Satan is doing and what he's not. When it's our fault and when it's not. Scholars say that St. Paul probably suffered from anxiety and depression. Can you imagine that? Managing the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. And Asia, Europe, Judea, and all the churches. And Paul was over it without cell phones, without cars, trying to manage an infant church against hostile forces of evil, false teachers and all of these things, and waiting on pins and needles for somebody to come back with word and let him know that the church is doing okay, can't be everywhere at the same time. Sometimes people want to know why you can't be here, why you couldn't come. They didn't understand, and Paul understood Satan hinders. Yes, he does. And we need to have the sanctified common sense and the discipline and the discernment to know when it is Satan hindering and when it is us. When we have failed, Satan wants to be like Job's friend. Hey, when he attacks, this is your fault. You have failed God. This is all your fault. Well, sometimes some of it might be, but what I'm telling you today, that it is all not your fault. We need to know the difference. We need to know the difference, and we can know the difference. I've known some godly people who have been in spiritual warfares. I remember in 1996, and Brother Leonard Greer is one of the godliest men I've ever been around. He was your pastor for many years, a man of God. But I remember in 1996, Brother Greer and myself were selected to be the first members of the council, the new organization of General Baptist. We were scheduled to be at the organizational meeting in 1996 in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. I believe it started at 9:30 in the morning. We had to get up early to go, and all anxious and ready to go. And you know, this was an exciting time. There's a reorganization of our whole denomination, and we were going to be sitting on the council to vote on the leadership and the direction, all these things. Very important. My phone rung at 4 o'clock that morning. It was Brother Greer. And his voice was trembling. And he said, "Brother Mike, I can't go today." He said, "My nerves are just, I've got anxiety, and I've been up all night, and he was trembling, you know. He was in a spiritual warfare. You think, well, I wouldn't think a man of God like that ever had any problems like that. Think again. Think again. You might think, well, I wouldn't think that St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, would ever have any problems like that. Think again. Think again. Satan's warfare is real. He comes at us, and he will get us any way that he can, you know. Now listen, if I choose to be out all night on Saturday night and I don't feel like going to church, that's on me, isn't it? But if I'm under spiritual attack by Satan and anxiety and my nerves has kept me up all night, then that's spiritual warfare. That's not hard to tell the difference. We need to have that spiritual discernment to know the difference. I've known of godly people that had some terrible tragedies in their families. And if we're not careful, we'll be like Job's friends. Why that happened to them? And we look over the real root of the problem and not even recognize it's spiritual warfare. You know, these things are real. The darts are real, those fiery darts. Those things are real. This is not a plaything. The devil plays hardball. He plays for keeps. He's a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and his business is to cause trouble to God's people. He wants to see you quit. He wants to see you quit. Satan wanted Job to quit, didn't he? But he didn't do it. And Job is an inspiration to us. No matter what we go through, we can maintain our integrity. You know, Jesus said, one of the soils at the seed, you know, that he fell away when persecution arises and all. And that's what Satan wants to do. Wants to get us to quit. Don't go any further. Don't go any further. Oh, spiritual warfare is real. St. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Our nation is blessed with some great weapons, and they're using them for a good cause, in my opinion, over there right now. And I'm thankful that we have those things to protect us. But the weapons of this warfare are not carnal. They're not material weapons, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are not without resources. We are in a spiritual war. Oh, I don't know about all that. Well, you better take ware, because it is real. Satan has declared war upon God's people. But God has not left us just to fend for ourselves. And that's why Paul says, take advantage of these resources. Why is it important for, you know, the older I get, I find that I have to pray more. I have to study more. I have to work harder. It is not something that as you progress in age that it gets easier and you don't have to make as much effort. There's a lot of effort we have to put to it. We got to pray more. We got to study God's Word. Well, I read the Bible. Read it again. Spiritual warfare. Satan has declared war upon you. There are events that happen in what we have to do is to have spiritual discernment to tell the difference. Now, Satan would like to attack you and you not even know what's going on. Oh, it's just some random event. Might not be. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 12, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of our Christ, for the accuser of the brother is cast down. The accuser of the brother is cast down, which accuses them before God night and day. Afflict him and he'll curse you to your face. Take away his substance and he'll curse you to your face. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath. He has declared war upon you because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And he's here to wage spiritual warfare. God's people need to recognize this. Now listen, Job lived in a dispensation long ago. He didn't really understand the ins and outs of the spiritual realm. He didn't really understand that there was life after death. He had hoped so, and he believed there was, but he didn't have any concrete knowledge. We have the Word of God. We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you know anything, you better know that. You can't be a Christian if you don't know that Jesus rose from the dead. We're getting ready to celebrate that on Easter Sunday. Job didn't know all these things. He said, I sort of believe it, but I didn't have the written word. It hadn't been revealed unto him. It has been revealed unto us. We know Job didn't understand. He understood one thing. It was real. If you have been born again, God has given you resources, the Word of God, that teaches us that this spiritual warfare is real and that you need to be able to discern it. You have that knowledge. Job just knew there is something going on. I don't know what it is, but it hurts. I lost everything, my family, my possessions. And I'm a very sick man, miserable, living in miserable. What is going on? And all his friends could say, it's you, it's you, it's you. spiritual warfare is real. Sometimes things happen because of our lack of discipline, our laziness, our bad stewardship can contribute to things and circumstances in our life, and sometimes there's no reason or rhyme. You see things like that. Well, why did that happen to them? First thing we do is try to figure out a reason. That's where we do err. It is not our business. But try to discern there is a bigger picture. In a realm that we're not seeing visible, there is a spiritual warfare going on. It's an age-old battle between good and evil. And I'm here to tell you that as God's people, you are on the winning side. That Jesus won the victory, and that it's soon he's coming to close the deal, to take us to glory and to do away with Satan and his forces forever. They'll be cast into the lake of fire, never to trouble us anymore. And that'll be done with that. But until then, while we're here, we're going to have to live like St. Paul. When we got saved, God didn't say, come and enjoy your life and all the benefits, but go tell Paul what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. We're living in an age and a culture that people are not attracted to suffering. We want to prosper. We'd rather hear the gospel of prosperity. Hey, come to Jesus, everything will be great. Your life will be great. You will be blessed financially. All of these things, but the truth is we are called to suffer with Christ. Why must we go through that? I don't have all those answers. I've seen some godly people suffer some horrible things. I don't have answers to that. God knows. I try to leave it in His hands. We just have to be prepared and understand why it's happening, and not blame God, not blame each other. There are things going on that we don't know about. But I know one thing. God has not left us here without resources. We need to understand up first, and Paul is telling New Testament Christians and us that, first of all, this warfare is real. You need to acknowledge it. Don't ignore it. It is real. And that's why it's important that we put on the whole armor of God. In other words, there are resources that God has given us, and for goodness sake, take advantage of them. Use everything. And he says, you know, having done all to stand, hey, you know, we say, go down with fight. If we're going to go down, let's go down swinging, Christians. Let's use all the resources that Christ has left us here. We want to give what a good account of ourselves. We want to have done all that we had available to stand in the evil day. Stand, he said. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And what a shame it would be to say, well, I didn't take advantage of what God had for me here. Having your loins girt about with the truth. We've got to start out with the truth of God's word. The breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, wherein you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the only offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Read it. Pick it up and read it and read it again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all the saints. Pray one for another. Pray for your brothers and sisters who are under spiritual attack. We need to pray for each other. God has not left us on our own. Verse 10 of the scripture, he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the key, in the power of his might. Remember, he overcome the world, our Lord Jesus did. Brother Danny, I'm about through here. One of the last things and statements that the risen Lord made unto the disciples before he ascended back to heaven. After the resurrection, he stayed around for 40 days, I believe. And then he led them out to Bethany, out that way some more, to Mount Olivet or some more. And he simply ascended after he gave last instructions. Right before those last instructions, he says these words, all power. Oh, we're up against spiritual wickedness in high places. Pastor, that scares me. We're up against some evil things. It's not a plaything. It's not. But listen to this. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. That has not changed. And yea, though we be up against some spiritual forces, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, but you always have a friend in a higher place. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you know him today, and we're going to stand together, and if you don't, and if you need to come to know this one who has all power in heaven and earth, his name is Jesus. And if you'd come to him, he would save you today. If you're here today and you lack the spiritual discernment to identify spiritual warfare and attacks, come and pray for that gift. Use the things that God has given you to identify that. If you have a need today, if you want to come pray for some friend of yours who you feel is under spiritual attack, come and pray for them. Whatever your need is, we're going to ask you to come today and to pray about it. Brother Danny.